The Pewter Nation podcast is presented by Westshore Financial, the official financial sponsors of PewterReport.com. For life insurance, investment, and retirement strategies, Westshore Financial's Chris Garrido can help you plan for the future and protect your family's finances. Call Chris at 813-434-0037 for a free, no-obligation conversation today. And now, get ready for the new Pewter Nation podcast. .com is the official print partner of PewterReport.com. For printing, signage, and apparel needs, contact our partners at 888-72-HR-PRINT or 72hourprint.com. That's 72hrprint.com. Welcome, Pewter Report readers and listeners, to another edition of the Pewter Nation podcast. This is Victory Friday podcast.
Victory Friday.
As the Buccaneers have knocked off the Miami Dolphins by a score of 16-14, I am Mark Cook, along with Trevor Sikahema.
I'm surprised you knew the final score. I really am.
Well, I just had to change Taylor's story, which had 13-6 in there.
Oh, wow.
So
that was incorrect.
Yeah, he may have written that a little soon.
Well, and, you know, live journalism.
Wasn't
it's preseason
the
for everybody.
Published copy.
It's no. Preseason for everybody.
The other voice you hear, of course, is the boss man, Mr. Scott Reynolds. Hello, Scott.
Hello, Mark.
We are going to run through this game, this exciting, amazing game that kept us on the edge of our seat.
Did it?
Actually, we didn't get on the edge of our seat till about 3 minutes left when somebody finally scored a touchdown. It was bad through the first.
Yeah, but it ended exciting.
No, it was. It was very exciting at the end.
God, can you have a little bit of joy?
You know when I'll have joy?
Christmas.
When Scott. No, not then either.
Sorry.
When Scott talks about our wonderful title sponsors at Westshore Financial.
That's right, Westshore Financial, the official financial company of PewterReport.com and your sponsor of the Pewter Nation podcast. You guys have heard me talk about Chris Garrido and the fine folks at Westshore Financial a lot, and here's what you need to do. If you haven't done it yet, call Chris Garrido. Chris will not only help you plan your financial future in terms of your retirement, but he can also make sure that your family's future is financially set in terms of life insurance. So protect your family. Call Chris Garrido at 813-434-0037. If you're a longtime listener of the Pewter Nation podcast, make today the day. Don't put it off any longer. You might already have an insurance guy. You might already have a financial planner. That's fine. Get a second opinion, right? You might like Chris better and what he has to say. It's full comprehensive financial planning at its best. Chris Garrido, Westshore Financial, 813-434-0037. You'd be glad that you did.
And I'm going to be glad when I finally do.
I will be glad, too, for you and your
You know,
sake.
It's kind of like a shtick, like a, you know, this a reoccurring thing that happens
yes.
on the podcast, but you probably should.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm
no,
worried about it.
It's about time.
I'm worried
no,
about
it. I'm going to.
I don't want you to get evicted.
I just ordered 5,000 Biden 2020 T-shirts.
It's a risky investment.
Yeah, I'm not sure that's going to
pay out.
That is
not a
out.
Safe investment.
No, not at all.
I'll tell you what was looking pretty safe right now is the investment that Jason Light made in the fifth round, Matt Gay. The Bucks might have a kicker, folks.
Way to jinx it, Reynolds.
Try not to jinx it.
Way to jinx it.
So far, so good.
Yikes.
He's going to melt
trade
down
Cairo Santo tomorrow, and then Matt Gay is going to get hurt or something.
That's the thing. Don't trade Cairo.
And that's when I'm going to step in.
Oh, boy.
To save the day.
The golden toe.
He made one kick last year.
He did.
On
he
a high
it.
School field with no pressure.
Can you guys match a kicker contract?
No.
Can't?
No.
Okay. All right. Can't match a kick? Can't match a kicker contract.
Well, better
looks
dust
like Trevor's
off the
moving
old
on.
Boot. Yeah, no, but it was that was a really good. Somebody asked me on Twitter tonight, actually, and I could say tonight because we already told you we're recording this after the game. They asked, hey, do the results really matter in preseason? And the results, no. Like, if you just take them out of context, they don't matter. But how they won tonight matters, right?
Yeah.
I mean, giving up the late touchdown, which you don't want, giving up the two-point conversion and going, oh, great, we got 34 seconds to get into scoring range.
I'm still mad Miami didn't go for the extra point and tie that up. I was looking forward to overtime.
We go Tanner Hudson, big throw. Tanner Hudson, big throw.
Or technically big catch.
Well, big catch, yep. Yeah. Ryan Griffin, big throw to him both times. Gets within range and a 48-yard field goal. I mean, we were kind of criticizing things last week where it's like, all right, they were going for it on fourth down a bunch, but don't you want your rookie kicker that you hope is going to be your regular season kicker to make as many kicks as you can in the preseason? But this was an awesome opportunity for him. Yeah, he got to kick a kick with a lot of pressure and the game on the line and 48 yards, right? 48 yards. That's 48
yards for the game winner.
Come on. That's a good field goal.
You know what? His first kick last week was 55 yards at Heinz Field in Pittsburgh. And his first kick tonight was a 32-yarder. And that may not seem like it's a pressure-packed kick, but that's the you got to make this kick, right? That's the range where you got to make it, right?
Absolutely.
So there is some pressure in that. It's almost like the wide receiver who flashes in camp and makes the crazy one-handed catches but then drops the easy ones right to him. Almost like Jamel Dean tonight where he really had a pick six and just dropped it.
Hit
him right in the hands.
Yeah.
Just dropped it. But thankfully for him, he came back in the fourth quarter, made a huge interception in the end zone that allowed the Buccaneers to come back to this for this victory.
I think there were a lot of disciplinary things that weren't great with how they played this game. I mean, Bruce Arians said himself that the second and third team defenses are committing some of the dumbest penalties that he's ever seen, right? I mean, that's pretty much verbatim what he said. But to their credit, the big plays, the memorable plays, they had a couple of chances where they could have had interceptions.
Yeah.
And I know they had one for sure. Did they only have that one? Dean was the only one.
Just Dean.
Okay. But I mean, Dean had his hands on another one. And I think they had another that could have very well been an interception. And they had a ton of sacks tonight, I felt like. They had a lot of pressure on the second and third team that was coming up big. And so, you know, the little finer details of the game, sure, I think have to get a lot better. But what you want to see in preseason is almost what you talk about in scouting, where it's like you want to see the flashes.
Yeah.
You want to see
what a guy can do.
And I thought that there were a handful of Buccaneers that showed what they could do tonight. I was really impressed with Shaq Barrett, actually.
I was, too.
Didn't play a ton, but, man, those back-to-back plays were on the first one he got the sack, and on the second one he didn't get the registered sack.
He said it, Pat
but
O'Connor.
But he got the quarterback off his spot so that Pat O'Connor could get the get the sack himself.
And also Devontae Bond. This is a guy who looks like a completely different player.
He was totally.
He was drafted to be a Sam linebacker in a 4-3 defense.
Almost like a pass rushing guy, you know?
Yeah, he was a pass rushing guy, JUCO, and then also at Oklahoma. And he's a really good athlete, a really good special teams player. That's why he's stuck around and hung around.
He's got really cool hair, too.
He does, very cool hair and great eyebrows. But the thing with Devontae Bond, well, he's got some eyebrows now.
Never said that about a man in my entire 48 years.
He's like the guy in Kevin, which is the Backstreet Boys with the big bushy eyebrows.
Yeah,
like
that. Big bushy ones. I'm going to let Devontae know you say he has bushy eyebrows.
They're gorgeous. I'm just saying.
Gorgeous.
They're gorgeous.
It's after midnight, as you people can tell. Scott's rambling on about a man's
gorgeous. You need to get your jazz, boy, your jazz radio voice out.
Yeah. Really? Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know what that is.
Yeah. But he had a nice sack
tonight. Like a jazz radio? Like smooth jazz.
My smooth jazz.
Quiet Storm. You know, it's like past midnight.
Quiet Storm.
Computer report after dark.
Yeah, his beautiful eyebrows.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah, baby.
All right, it's too far. Yeah. That's way too far.
So Devontae Bond had a nice sack. He's been
plenty comfortable, Mark.
He's been moved to outside linebacker because of the injury to Anthony Nelson.
But it's a true outside linebacker.
It is.
Like, he's not, like, edge rush, only stand-up pass rusher guy. You could just tell he's playing with a lot of confidence.
Yeah,
he is
really
for sure one of the players who has stepped up big time in camp who I didn't see that coming. I thought Devontae Bond was just going to be a guy, and here he is, and I don't know if he's going to make this team.
I think he will.
But he's certainly putting himself in a better situation than he previously had. I think he's one of those guys
that's
really
well,
benefiting from Todd Bowles' defense.
Agreed. He was showing well at the inside linebacker spots, and now he can play inside. He can also play outside.
Yeah, that versatility.
And he's a special teams
guy. Big deal. It's a big deal.
So I think if it comes down to him and Jack Sitchie, I think that he has the edge over Jack right now.
And he hasn't given up a block punt so far.
Not yet.
Not yet.
He did last year.
Not yet.
Or 2 years ago, whenever it was.
All right, who's wide receiver three on this team?
Perriman.
Rashard Perriman, yeah, for sure.
Not even a question.
Did you say Paramore, the band?
They're good. But
they are
good.
Yeah, they're good.
I don't think they're wide receiver three, though.
No, they're not. But
Hagar Williams is a good singer, but I don't know if she's wide receiver.
Here's the real question. The real question is, who's wide receiver four?
Meshack and Abednego.
Who's wide receiver four? That's the question. Because I'm not sure it's Justin Watson. He drops way too many passes.
I don't know if it's Justin Watson either.
He's not.
I don't know if it's going to be Emmanuel Hall either. Look, I know fans are pumped about Emmanuel Hall because they're pumped about literally anyone new who comes on this team. But, man, he was just so boomer bust when he was at Missouri.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, the guy can fly. Yep. He knows how to play deep. Mm-hmm. And playing comfortable in the deep area of the field is definitely an asset to note.
Yeah.
You got to catch the football.
You do. And really, he reminds me a lot of Breshon Perriman coming out of UCF.
Right, they're playing that same mold.
Yeah. Big guy, but not as big as Breshard. Fast guy, but not as fast as Breshard. But both guys coming out of college had problems with drops. They had problems with injuries. And that's going to be a big thing for Hall is, can he get enough of the playbook this week to where he can really show out the next two games and make some sort of an impression to where they want to keep him? Because Spencer Schnell did not show up tonight as a receiver. And I know he had a decent showing last week, obviously, with 100 yards.
Well, right now, it's probably Bobo Wilson by default, right?
Yeah, it probably is. Scotty Miller has yet to take the field, right? He's missed two games with that hamstring injury.
And Bobo's making himself as valuable as he can on special teams.
Yeah, as a punt returner.
Being a versatile guy there. He had a drop tonight, but he also had a couple receptions.
Who is this?
Bobo
Wilson.
Or how do you say his first name?
Bobo Wilson. Bobble. Jesus.
Is it Jesus?
It's Jesus.
It's Jesus.
Yeah, it's definitely Jesus.
You sure it's not Jesus?
No, it's not Jesus. No, it's not Jesus. Wilson. It's Jesus.
But Jesus is kind of like a, it's kind of like a Latin American name, right?
Yeah.
You
know?
Yeah.
Well, but we're in America, so is it Jesus? No,
it's still Jesus.
If you played overseas,
Juan just Valdez, Jesus. Would it be Jesus? When he moves to the United States, we don't start calling him Juan. Yeah, it's
Juan.
Just Juan.
Yeah.
It's, you can carry your name across the border, Donald.
I keep calling him Jesus.
No, okay. Well, you call him whatever you want.
Do that.
For his sake, hopefully he's part of this football team. But nobody's really established themselves.
I think it's wide open for number 4 and 5 right now. And I'll tell you what, there was a time when I thought this team might keep 6 receivers because you're kind of penciling in.
And now they're only going to keep 5 because they can only find 5 good ones.
That's right. Yeah,
maybe that opens up a spot at tight end for keeping 4.
I'll tell you, Tanner Hudson's got.
I think they would rather keep 4 tight ends than 6 wide receivers
right now, for
without
sure.
Without a doubt.
The only problem
they'd
is...
They'd much rather keep Tanner Hudson.
And this is what Bruce Arians said in the press conference tonight. Tanner Hudson, and I mentioned this in a chat last week that we were doing when we were watching the Steelers game. We were texting back and forth. Tanner Hudson, for all of his good that he does catching the ball, is an absolute liability as a blocker.
But so is Brait.
Not nearly as bad.
I'll say this.
But what's Brait the difference
was
between
just as bad?
But what's
in
the difference between
year?
Being unreliable and super unreliable? They're the same thing.
Yeah.
If you can't block, you can't block.
I think Brait gives more effort. I'm going to say that.
Okay, that might be fair.
I think he does. I think Brait shows me a little bit more oomph in the blocking.
Well, what Tanner's got to do is decide that he wants to be a blocking tight end because.
I'll tell you what,
he's got
2 weeks to do it, Mark.
You can't carry 3 pass catching. You can't have your 4th guy as a pass catching tight end, as a one-dimensional guy.
It depends what they want to do. Like, if there are a lot of offenses, like Matt LaFleur does this, Sean McVay does this, Kyle Shanahan does this. They run their playbook. It's not so much a lot of different formations that they have. They just run a lot of plays off of small formations because they love to incorporate play action. And Bruce talked earlier this training camp about how important play action is, and that's not really a hint at what he's going to be doing because every team will tell you that, right?
Sure.
Every team will be like, well, you got to establish the run, and then you establish the play action, then you can take your deep shit. Like, every coach is going to tell you that. But if you're going to be a team that runs a lot of plays out of fewer formations, you're probably playing a lot of 12 personnel. You might even play some 13 personnel, right? You're using 2 tight ends, 3 tight ends because you want to allow the defense to think, oh, are they going to run or are they going to pass? And if you got 2 tight ends in the field, if you're playing base out of 12 personnel.
12 personnel is 1 running back, 2 tight ends.
2 tight ends. Should have said that. Sorry.
It's okay.
And so if you were doing that most of the time, then it makes sense to keep 4 tight ends. But if you're doing a lot more spread stuff, if you're going empty, if you're playing 4 wide receivers, 1 running back, then all of a sudden it's like, okay, you can kind of get by with 3.
Right.
But
the problem is
what they want to do.
Tanner Hudson's got a great set of hands. Everybody knows that. But does he have the value in
special
teams?
Does he have the frosted tips? Yes.
He has the frosted tips. Yeah, that might be holding him back.
Goatee.
I don't know if it's any goatees amazing.
Yeah, I agree. We got to do something about
that. Who's got the best goatee in history?
History?
Yeah.
Sam Elliott?
Warren Sapp had a pretty good one. Oh, did I bring up SAP on this podcast?
Wow.
Yeah, you did.
Wow. Wow, just starving for more clicks.
Right.
I'm just going to put SAP in the title.
Yeah, SAP again.
Episode whatever number it is. Mark right. talks about SAP.
Yeah.
All right.
No, but just to round up the point on Tanner Hudson, I would love to see him as the fourth tight end just because the receiving ability. He has got to show up in special teams.
I would, too, because I think his mom tweeted at me after I said, Tanner Hudson's making the football team, and she said, these are very kind words. You get homemade cookies. So if Tanner Hudson makes his football team, we might get
cookies. All right. Well, you know what? I second that.
We need to,
Tanner Hudson, fourth tight end.
Insert our propaganda into the coaching staff
to get cookies.
Get him on
Well, I'll tell you what. A couple guys that we've been hyping.
Somebody reach out to Jason. Be like, hey, Jason, if you keep him.
Jason Light.
We get cookies. Yeah, Jason Light.
Jason Light likes some cookies, too.
See, all right, so Jason.
He might have some skin in the game.
You got to understand what's at stake here.
Right.
Speaking of cookies, you guys need to go to T.A. Mahoney's for the best selection of flare guns in America now. I did some research since this last podcast.
But they don't sell cookies, do they?
No, I don't. Not really. I don't know why you guys are talking about cookies. But... But T.A. Mahoney's has been in business since 1948. And I'm sure Grandma Mahoney used to cook some mean cookies at T.A. Mahoney's.
Okay.
Probably can't get cookies right now, although they do have a vending machine in their break room. I saw that.
You can probably get some grandma's cookies.
Yeah, you can get some cookies there. But you can also get flare guns.
Yes,
you can also get your boat repaired. I'm looking at this pirate
ship
in the end zone.
Could I break open the vending machine with a flare gun?
Possibly.
So then
but
I could get
they'll
cookies.
Probably arrest you for vandalism.
Oh.
I'm looking at this pirate ship in the end zone. I'm thinking it needs to go to T.A. Mahoney's.
I don't know that it's seaworthy.
Well, you know where you can get seaworthy at?
T.A. Mahoney's.
T.A. Mahoney's. If they need a trailer to pull it, where can they get one?
T.A. Mahoney's.
T.A. Mahoney's, your one-stop shop for all your marine needs in the Tampa Bay area. Since 1948, go check them out. Make sure when you stop in or you give them a call that you let them know that you appreciate them sponsoring the Pewter Nation podcast.
You know, we're not done yet.
Sorry,
still got to.
Every
get
time you say it in that inflection, I always
don't jump the snap count.
Right,
okay,
just natural reaction.
All right, I think a couple of the guys we've talked about that are behind the scenes guys. I wrote about one of them. Actually, I've written about both of them now in the Fab Five columns the last couple of weeks.
Mm-hmm.
Dari Ogunbowale.
Rondé Barber. Yep.
Who?
Dari Ogunbowale.
Yep, Rondé.
See, now you're messing up the first name. Dare.
And
has anybody done a headline, Truth or Dare yet? But it's Dare, spelled Dare.
The thing about Dare.
God, I'm good at this job. Man, where'd you guys find me?
Online.
Shoot.
Yeah, online.
It's true.
On
Twitter.
On Tinder.
Twitter.
I got
duped into going to a date and just Scott sitting to the other side of a table with a contract.
Yeah.
You like football, right? All right.
We're
a match.
I'm looking around for cameras.
Enjoyed your Tinder profile. You want to work for us?
Dare had a really good night, not so much as a running back, only because the second string offensive line is just not good at run blocking. Can we just say that?
You know,
they're not good. They're not good.
There's
not
a reason they're second
not
string.
Not good.
No, they're pretty much not
they're
good.
They're bad.
Yeah.
They're really bad. But what we did see was Dare really show up in the passing
game. Bless their soul, they're still trying to do pulls and counter runs where they're trying to get off the line and get to the outside, and boy, those guys can't run.
No, they cannot.
Holy cow, they can't move. They cannot move.
They're getting exposed.
But they're trying.
Yes, but they're getting exposed. But the thing is Dare really showed up. He had a long catch and run that was called back due to a penalty on Charles Johnson. But then he did have a 41-yard screen. Was it a screen or was it just like a flare pass?
Which one are you talking about?
The big one, the 41-yard where he tripped over his own feet.
The one that counted?
The one that counted, yeah.
Then that was a pass, yeah. It was like a short little screen pass.
Okay.
Thing.
And 41 yards, he ended up with 54 yards.
He also had, he had like a 35-ish something yard run
that was called
that got
back
called
on the
back.
Yeah.
And listen, guys.
He's RB3.
I said this when it happened. For those of you on Twitter who, when a really good play happens and we note it and you go, yeah, but it got called back, that doesn't mean we didn't just watch the play happen.
Right.
It doesn't mean that the guy didn't just showcase really good skill.
Right.
That still happened. Just because it doesn't show up on the stat sheet
it doesn't
does not
show up
mean
on the stat
it
sheet
didn't happen.
but it,
kind of means it didn't happen.
No, where it shows up is it shows up in the scout's notebook. It shows up on the coach's report.
Yeah.
That's where it shows up. And for these guys, that's what matters.
And in Tanner Hudson's mom's cookies.
That's right.
That's the title of this episode.
No, it's not.
Why? He had two big catches.
He did have two
Tanner
big
Hudson's
catches.
Cookies.
Well, I'm just going to start calling him Clutch. Clutch Hudson is his new name.
I like it. Clutch Hudson. Yeah.
All right. With those tips and that goatee.
All right.
He's Clutch.
He's going to get all the ladies in the club. Hey, what's up, ladies? I'm Clutch. Clutch Hudson.
You're helping his game out right now.
Clutch his Hudson. Girlfriend Carly's going to kick our ass.
Clutch Hudson is like a... like a 70s cop.
It's like Fletch almost.
You know?
It was one of the bad guys like on an old episode of Hawaii 5-0. Steve McGarrett.
If you're named Clutch Hudson,
Clutch Hudson, you got
aviators and sideburns out the wazoo.
You're driving
man.
A Gran Torino.
You got a mustache and a muscle car and a whole lot of.
Essentially,
and
you're describing.
Tips.
Yeah.
You're actually describing Tanner Hudson right now.
Okay. Yeah. Well, that's perfectly. Why he's nicknamed Clutch.
All right. Has Ryan Griffin made up any ground
what I was gonna say.
On Blaine
Gabbert? Absolutely.
I think he has.
At the end of the day, Bruce is going to go with the guy that he remembers and likes probably. But how do you...
Blaine Gabbert was awful tonight.
Really bad.
He was awful.
Ryan Griffin's outplayed him two straight games.
Yes, he has.
Yeah, but like it's a preseason.
Oh, yeah, it doesn't count, Scott.
That's right.
Yeah, it didn't happen.
These stats don't matter.
Okay, but we're talking about... You don't keep players just because of how well they did in the preseason.
Have you ever tasted...
His
mother's cookies.
You keep players because of how well you think they're going to do in the regular season.
This guy's been
agreed.
Playing since 95.
Ryan
Somebody
Griffin
thinks he's
doesn't
good.
Have the arm.
To what? Lead
to
the Buccaneers on 80-yard drive
team
in 34 seconds
yes.
to win a football
Put
game?
Put him out there against Cleveland. Let Jameis sit.
We'll see.
Okay,
that's what I would do.
All right,
we'll see.
Here's the thing. Blaine Gabbert
That's
with his
what
big
I would
strong
do. I was
arm.
Was emotional there. Sorry.
Blaine Gabbert with his big strong arm threw about three or four passes into the dirt.
Yeah,
about two or three yards.
Blaine Gabbert has the
cross
pocket
line of scrimmage.
Presence
open,
at times
dude.
Of Ray Charles.
He ran into a sack. Who?
There was literally one guy that got past the Buccaneers
the
line of
guys.
Scrimmage, and he just ran right into him. It's like, come on, man, you got to have a little pocket presence there. And those are the kind of things that have kind of plagued Blaine Gabbert throughout his career.
Yeah.
You know, and, you know, again, he has the strongest arm on the team. Scotty Miller said it in his training camp diary this week that, you know, he probably has the strongest arm of the three quarterbacks.
Yeah.
But, you know, having a strong arm is, you know, it's like being the fastest guy on the team. If you can't catch, it doesn't do any good.
I don't think that anybody would argue the fact that Ryan Griffin has outplayed Blaine Gabbert this preseason. Right. I mean, like, that's just a fact. He has. Yeah. But... At the end of the day, how long has Ryan Griffin been in the league? 5 years?
95.
I mean, like, they've
he's not been since 95.
He came in with
Steve DeBerg's backup.
Came in with Seven Brooks.
Yeah.
So, but he just, I mean, even the Tanner Hudson throws that you saw tonight, beautiful throws, but there ain't nothing on them.
Well, that's
he's
because
he's just lobbing those bad boys up there.
To make, because he knows.
Starting corners are picking that thing off with their eyes closed.
Maybe.
They're maybe picking
not.
It off with their hands behind their
Here's
back.
The
they
thing.
Don't even got to turn
Here's
around
the
for
thing,
it.
Trevor. We just don't know how that works. We can assume, but the guy's never gotten the opportunity to go against one. So we don't
put him with the first team next week. Let him run with the dogs.
Yeah, let's probably not.
Let him stare down Miles Garrett. Let him point him out.
If Jameis Winston,
I'm not afraid of you.
If Jameis Winston,
Miles Garrett
doesn't play,
just like double rips Donovan Smith's contract out of his hands.
Listen, if Jameis Winston
snaps Ryan Griffin's soul in half.
If Jameis Winston doesn't play 16 games,
yes.
Like if he misses any games,
yes.
This team is doomed.
Correct.
No, they'll trade for Ryan Fitzpatrick.
Oh,
no,
my
they're not.
Gosh.
Absolutely not. Absolutely
trade
not.
Cairo Santo for him straight
yeah,
up.
Straight
right
up.
Now, tonight. Cut Blaine. Cut Ryan.
That's all Jameis Winston needs is
yeah.
Fitzpatrick in his rearview mirror.
Yeah, exactly.
Speaking of rearview mirrors, we got to get over to Yeoman's sometime soon, Scott.
Are we going to, like, back in there?
Yep, absolutely.
Is that what we're going
to
do?
Well, I mean,
check the rearview mirror. We're going to put it in reverse.
They already drive on the wrong side of the road. Okay. We might as well go in reverse it's while we're at it.
You saved that segue. Good job, Cook.
But Yeoman's
Gaskin
Lion, located in downtown Tampa, also over
say,
by the
Margarita.
Yeah, lion.
Like
L-I-O-N.
Like lying?
Not like you do. But the actual animal.
Like lying.
Lie on.
Like you're lying to somebody.
No, you're not lying to anybody. I'm going to lie to you and tell
like,
you I'm going
like
to give you a
lying,
gift certificate.
Like you're lying on the ground.
Yeah, no, not that lion either. L-I-O-N. Lion. The Yeoman's Cast.
I don't understand.
In
Is
line.
It Howard Franklin?
Not again.
No, we've already established it's Frank Land.
Okay. And now
they,
I get it.
And they took Taylor's
and actually, Mask and Lion. And I get it now.
Next Friday, they're playing Cleveland. It's not Cleveland.
Yeah.
It's Cleveland.
Not. Right, right.
The Cleveland Browns are coming here. The land.
Now getting
Cleveland.
Back, now getting back to the Yeoman's Cask and Lion.
Yes.
10 lunch deals under $10.
Each.
Each. Not
each.
All together. Each. And they've got some amazing ones, including the best fish and chips you'll ever find. Now, Scott's not a big fish guy. I don't know what he's going to do when we go to London, because I think that's all they serve there.
Hold
no,
on. They've got meatloaf over there. They've
Wait
got
a
hot
sec.
Roast and
There's
stuff.
There's a place that's by the what is it, the International Mall? Is that the one that's by the airport? They have a sign that says they have the best fish and chips.
Well, they're lying.
I doubt it.
I think they're lying.
Seriously doubt it.
Bring it on, whoever you are.
Right.
I'll put it up, Yeoman's Cask
and Lion. Go to Yeoman's, get the fish and chips, walk it to these other people.
And throw it at them?
And say, try this.
And try this, and they'll be like, wow, we got to erase the sign.
Yeah.
Yeoman's Cask and Lion, located in downtown Tampa, and also over in Orlando near the Margaritaville Resort. Two great lake locations in the Central Florida area to take care of all of your needs. If you want a British-themed pub, hey, look, we're going to be having a watch party there for the Carolina games. Maybe both of the Carolina games, but definitely the one in London.
Yeah.
The Wonder Twins will be hosting that while you and
Excellent.
I are in London.
Yes.
Maybe Trevor will be over there, too.
That'd be fun.
That'd be cool.
Yep.
Yeoman's Cask and Lion, located in Tampa.
Wait, what am I going to do?
Here's the thing. What am I going to do?
You're going to go have brunch. While you're watching the Bucks game.
All right.
Open
Taylor
tab.
And I are going to do the 10 for 10 challenge. We're going to get all 10 under $10 and see who can eat the most.
I'm going to go.
Okay.
You know what? I was going to say that I was going to go with
minutes.
Taylor because he's quite.
10 for 10.
He's
in
much
10.
Larger than you, but I've seen you eat. Quite concerned
like
you have a
horse,
tapeworm.
Dude. Yeah.
You finished off the nachos last night at Ford's.
Easily.
Yeah. Now, here's the thing.
Easily.
That game. The London game is at 9:30, and Yeoman's is opening up specially for Buccaneer fans, Peter Report readers.
Heck yeah.
Just for that day.
Heck
so they're
going
to have a special menu, open bar, everything. Not open bar, like free stuff, but like.
Right.
But
well, you just
take
the place out.
We just filled it up. Right?
Just, I'm here for the free drinks.
They're RSVPing right now.
You can get anything from the bar.
Yes.
As long as you pay for it.
Yes.
But what I'm saying is they might have some brunch items. They're going to have a special menu in addition
fish
to
chips?
Fish and chips,
okay,
of course.
Good. All right, good.
Yeoman's Cask and Lion, go check them out downtown Tampa. Also in Margaritaville Resort over in the Orlando area. All right, let's wrap this thing up pretty quick, guys, because it's late and we're approaching 30 minutes.
Raheem Nunez Roches.
Nunez Roches.
I know, but we're in America
Nacho.
Again.
Just call him Nacho.
Well, that was the case. What's
Does
his first?
Raheem Nachos...
Rackham's.
Does he make
Nacho?
The team?
Of course he makes the team.
Okay, he has to.
Yes. Thank you.
He's had a fantastic preseason.
No, I think definitely.
He's doing the dirty work.
You know, Jason was really high on him last year. He didn't really get an opportunity to showcase what he could do. But I think he's really come on this training camp. He's
on a
played
mission.
Well. And, you know, he's a guy that's taking advantage of some of these injuries across the defensive line. And,
he's been the Iron Man out there. He played 33 snaps last week. I don't know how many he played tonight.
Who?
It was a lot.
It's not in there.
It's not?
No. We'd have to text Greg Allman to find out.
Got another question. Who starts at the safety spots week one?
Well, if Mike if Mike Edwards
is healthy,
he's one of them, and Jordan Whitehead.
Yeah.
Who do you think
those
it is? Make claims right now.
No, it's I'm going to go
Edwards and Whitehead.
Yeah.
Okay. All right.
Yeah, I think so.
I'm going to go
John
Lynch.
Kentrell Bryce is a wild card there.
They like him.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
I mean, like, he's been playing well.
I was surprised
Jordan
to see him
Whitehead's
out there
been playing well, too.
I
really do think that he's got a chance
Who?
To... Jordan Whitehead.
Yes.
To be
I
that other
agree.
Safety.
I totally agree.
Because last year was kind of like, oh, he's a liability. He's only playing because the guys are hurt. He's only playing because nobody can play Mike Smith's defense. That's not the case anymore this
Correct.
Year.
Correct.
Jordan Whitehead's not just playing because he's the only guy left.
He's bulked up, too.
Well,
I mean,
he's
bulked up. He's got a lot more confidence. I mean, people got to realize he split time playing safety and running back at
Pittsburgh,
okay? Last year was his first year basically only focusing on one position.
Right.
And he's just a very athletic guy.
And last year
he sold out hard for tackles,
so
you could see the effort in him. Now he's playing with smarts as much as physicality.
Right.
So.
And he's a good athlete. When he was playing at Pittsburgh, he was really a defender. They needed him at running back. They're like, hey.
Yeah.
Hey,
well, they
like,
needed something.
Yeah,
an athlete. Something, like a high school football team, basically.
Exactly. You're a good athlete. We need you to to moonlight over here at running back, and he did a very good job of that too. Now, the thing is they just signed Darian Stewart, who really had an awful night tonight.
Yeah, he got run over by Ryan Fitzpatrick.
Yeah, he got trucked by Ryan Fitzpatrick.
He got bearded.
Okay. And also,
he had a run fit, it was terrible.
That 34-yard run he allowed out the door, that's not good. And, you know, he looks like he's lost a step. And the last time the Buccaneers, Jason Light, the general manager, got an old safety from the Broncos and T.J. Ward, it didn't work out too well.
Yeah, but to be fair,
there was a lot of weed involved in that one, though.
I think that T.J. was... I think TJ was done a little dirty, though, by the coaching staff just not wanting to play what kind of player he was.
But he was, I think Ward, he was also done,
yeah,
too.
I think so. I think that goes into it more than we initially thought it would. But I also think that Ward would have been a better player than, I mean, like, Stewart, right? Yeah. I mean, so if Ward was in this defense last year,
right,
I think his ending is, it's a different story.
Yeah, but here's the thing. I think they keep five safeties, right? So we already mentioned... We already mentioned Mike Edwards, Jordan Whitehead.
Mm-hmm. Chris Conte.
No, Justin Evans, if he can ever find the field again.
Right.
Bradley McDougal.
I mean, I don't know. I don't even know what's wrong with him
anymore.
Either.
All right, so there's three, if he makes it.
Yeah.
Then you're looking at
DJ Swearingen.
You're looking at Kentrell Bryce, right, as number four.
Yeah.
And then really it's a battle between John Battle, who I thought has played okay.
If there's a battle, I'm going to take John Battle.
I'm going to take John Battle, too. Just for the name.
Right.
And then you've got Darian Stewart, the new guy. You've got Isaiah Johnson, who's a very good special teams player. And, you know, he's kind of a developing guy on defense.
Special teams are important when you're talking about those later draft spots.
Yeah. So when you're the fifth guy on the depth chart, any position, you better be on special teams.
Thank you, Jesus. We're halfway done with the preseason. Only two more of these abominations.
No, thank you, Jesus. There was no lightning delay tonight.
Thank you,
What about Bubba Wilson?
That's what we're saying. Thank you, Jesus Wilson.
Wow.
All right. Anything else, guys, we want to touch on?
Nope.
We good? We want to talk some Sapp and McCoy?
Nope.
Nope.
Anybody? No?
No.
Want to leave that alone?
I think...
You want to release what McCoy told us in response to Sapp? No, we'll do it later. We'll do it later. We'll do that later.
We'll have Gerald McCoy on our next podcast to refute the charges. Anyway, for Trevor Sikkema, Scott Reynolds, I'm Mark Cooksand. We'll see you next week with another edition of the Pewter Nation Podcast.
Out.
Bobo out.
Out.